Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to talk about an average Joe. Do you know that phrase? He's an average Joe. Maybe that's an old phrase. But in our culture, it's used to describe just an ordinary guy. It's a phrase that rolls off the tongue easily, a way of describing someone who is unremarkable or an everyman. When we talk about the average Joe, we may picture a face in the crowd blending into the rhythm of everyday life. But not all Joes are average. Joseph of Nazareth is spectacularly ordinary. I like that phrase better than average. He is steady, reliable, and quietly faithful in his responsibilities. This average Joe doesn't seek the spotlight. He just gets the job done. And in his ordinariness, there's something beautifully steady, an unspoken faithfulness that often goes unnoticed. But maybe the average Joe isn't average at all. He's even special in a way. It might be hard to put into words, but you can spot it when you meet him. We can meet him in the scriptures. We heard about him in the scriptures this morning, and we can do that whenever we want. You know, we can open our Bibles to that scripture in the gospel, and we can learn even more about what we know or what we believe about Joseph. We may learn that he's quietly magnificent, and he's a young fellow, we heard, engaged to Mary. We may think he's spectacularly average, yes. He demonstrated profound faith and humility by accepting God's will through dreams. My sermon title is Signs and Faithfulness. So dreams, I don't know about you, but he had a dream and it changed his life. He accepted God's fleeing to Egypt. He accepted raising the Son of God, making him a powerful intercessor for all believers. Joseph did that. He's not the only Joe in the Bible, but Joseph of Nazareth, perhaps the most overlooked average Joe of all, is the earthly father of Jesus. Think of that. We hear so little about him, and he never speaks in recorded word in the scripture. To many, he seems like just another Joe in the margins of history. A quiet figure standing beside the radiant light of Mary and the splendor of the Christ child. Joseph wasn't ordinary. He was a quiet saint. This forgotten man of faith was hand-picked by God to be the protector and provider for the Savior of the world. Though his voice is silent in the Gospels, his actions speak volumes about courage and obedience and faithfulness. Let's take a little closer look at Joseph. He could be known as a good man in a bad situation. And we heard in the scripture, now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So Mary gets all the press, and rightly so, but in Matthew 1, we get the incarnation from Joseph's point of view. His is a story of a good man caught in an impossible and painful situation. It's the story of a quiet courage, radical obedience, and unshakable faith. But he's the good guy in that bad situation, isn't he? His girlfriend gets pregnant and she tells him an unbelievable tale. And Joseph is hurt and heartbroken and confused, but he chooses compassion over punishment, mercy over pride. He decides to let her go quietly, protecting her dignity even in his disappointment. Yet, right after a night vision, he stays committed to her. He plans to adopt this child and raise him as his own. And in the meantime, there's no sex, it's said in the scriptures, until after birth. But he was devoted to her. He was obedient to God. Joseph, like some of us, actually listens when God speaks. Maybe some of us, it's some of the time. But Joseph was going to deal with Mary privately to minimize any embarrassment that might come to her. But just as he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and God interrupts Joseph's plan, and the message is staggering. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph doesn't argue. He doesn't delay. He doesn't wake up and say, wow, that was a crazy dream. He believed. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, it tells us in verse 24, and he took her as his wife. He obeyed. He changed his whole life because of what God had said. Joseph is the quiet hero of the incarnation. Let's not rush past this. Joseph stays. He takes Mary as his wife. He embraces the shame and whispers from others. He raises a son who is not biologically his. He teaches Jesus the trade of carpentry. He protects his family when Herod threatens. He moves his household to Egypt in obedience to another dream. In a culture where honor and bloodlines and male pride were, everything Joseph lays all that down to do the will of God. That is discipleship. And that is why Catholic and Orthodox traditions revere him as Saint Joseph, a spiritual father, a model of masculine humility and protector of the Holy Family. He was a role model. He's a role model for us. We don't hear his literal voice in Scripture, not a single word. He slips silently into the background, and as he does, his faith speaks louder than words. Do you know anybody like that? You might know some people whose faith speaks louder than their words. He's a role model not because of grand speeches or dramatic miracles, but because of his steadiness, his obedience. Faith that obeys when it doesn't make sense. I have a little history with that. Maybe you have a little history with that too. But he faced that impossible situation. He was a rookie father. He was also a righteous man. By all accounts, he had every right to walk away. The message didn't come with proof, only a promise. How often are we asked to step out in faith when things don't make sense? When the path isn't clear, the diagnosis is grim, the job is lost, or the relationship is strained. Real faith obeys even when the pieces don't fit together. The world says it's foolish, and the heart struggles to understand. Joseph's faith was not passive, it was obedient action. He didn't need all the answers to follow God's leading. Faith. He had faith that chooses mercy over judgment. Can we do that? Before the angel, another sign there, appeared, Joseph had already decided to divorce her. We heard that in the scriptures. He, in his culture, he had the legal right to expose her, to bring her shame, even to demand her punishment. The scripture said he was a righteous man, and his first instinct was mercy. He chose to protect her. That kind of mercy might be rare in today's living. In a world that is quick to judge and slow to forgive, Joseph stands out as a model of grace. How many of us, when wronged, instinctively seek retribution or rush to judgment? Joseph reminds us that faith chooses mercy even when judgment is justified or seems to be. Faith that is strong enough to be gentle, that's what that is. Our culture often equates strength with dominance, with loud voices, firm stances, and unyielding power. The rise of mean men has not gone unnoticed. On the world stage, mean men dominate leadership roles, often at the cost of our values and our institutions. The ugliness also invades our homes, as victims of domestic abuse can testify. But Joseph was not a mean man. He was a strong man with strength to be gentle. Later, after his journey to Bethlehem with his family, he cares for Christ with tenderness. And then later than that, he had to uproot his family and flee to Egypt to keep them safe, trusting God every step of the way. True strength is not loud. Sometimes it's whispered in quiet acts of service. Now I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. I'm looking at all of you and I'm thinking of you and your acts of service, and I can't know everybody's story, but I know that you recognize that gentle spirit is really a precious part of being a Christian. It's a father who stays up late to soothe the crying child. It's a friend who listens when others dismiss us. And it's the believer who prays in silence for the good of another. Faith that steps into the background so God's plan can come forward. Joseph is often seen in the background. Do you see him right there? I finally got lights on him. I decided he deserved some light. He's there, he's steady and faithful, but the spotlight usually falls on Mary and the Christ child, right? But his role is essential, and he never seeks attention. He's not concerned with who gets the credit. He's content to let God's plan unfold. His faith is a reminder that the truest measure of devotion is not how much attention we receive, but how much glory we reflect of God. Faith doesn't always need a stage. Sometimes the greatest work is done behind the scenes. So one could say that Joseph is the patron saint of the quietly faithful. Maybe that's why we overlook him, because in a culture of shouting and shoving and arguing, Joseph, a strong man, speaks softly. In a society that celebrates the spotlight, Joseph stands in the shadows. It's no wonder that in addition to being the patron saint of the quietly faithful, he is also the patron saint of fathers, workers, refugees, and those who quietly serve behind the scenes. His life reminds us that the faithful obedience is its own kind of greatness. His is a faith that speaks in silence. So as we approach Christmas Day, may we remember not just the manger, the star, and the shepherds, but also the man who believed the signs and faithfully and quietly stood beside Mary, held the child in his arms, and said with his life, "Yes, Lord." Although his voice is never heard in the Bible, his life is all the sermon we need to hear. Trust God even when the path is unclear. Choose mercy even when you're hurting. Be faithful even when no one sees or applauds. Over time, and even in this moment, God provides signs that the Christ child is present, and the whole earth awaits our faithful answer to God's call. Amen.